Hello and welcome back to Talking Talmud. I'm one of your hosts here, Dana Osman, here with my friend Chavruta and Gordon. Our daf today, Masechet Bava Metzia, daf Chaf, page 20. Well, we have a new Mishnah that continues its discussion of returning lost documents. And the Mishnah begins as follows. Matza Igrot Shum. So somebody finds letters of what literally translates is to assignment. But what this means is it's a letter that states that a property has been assessed and then was taken or confiscated in order to pay off a debt. So this type of letter is given to the creditor by the court to tell the creditor that the property belonging to the debtor has been seized by the court and now is assigned to the creditor. Vigaro mazon, letters of sustenance. So this would be a letter certifying that a husband has agreed to provide for his stepdaughter a certain level of support. That's what how Rashi explains it. The Mefarshim do explain what exactly this is. It's not used for something that's an obligation. That's the point. It's that it's something that is it's not a typical obligation. So it's a letter that's used to show that somebody committed to this type of support, to giving this level mazon to a person that they didn't have to typically support. Shtarei chalitza u meunin. Right? Letters of certificates of chalitza or mi'un. So what mi'un is this is, we're talking about where a father basically can give, you know, make a contract for his daughter, his underage daughter. But if she's an orphan, the rabbis give her, you know, give that right, remember, to her mother or to her brothers. But that marriage is really only a rabbinic marriage, and basically she has a right of refusal, okay? So that's what that letter would be. It's miyun when she refuses that marriage. Ushtarei biruin, documents of clarification. The Gemara will explain what that is. V'chol masa beitin, or any act of the court. Hare ze yachzir. So these are all things that you can return to the party who is named in those types of documents. Now the Mishnah is going to deal with another question, which is, can an ordinary document be returned on the basis of having some type of evidence that's not in the document itself? Matzava chafisa o bidil sukama. If somebody finds a document in a chafitza or a dil skumia, these are different types of containers, basically, tachrik shel shtarot, or he finds a roll of documents, o agudah shel shtarot, or a bundle of documents, hare ze yachzor, these he should return, right? So in other words, these were some containers or different methods in which documents would be stored together. And so basically the idea is that you're going to return it to some type of identifying mark on the container, not necessarily to who's mentioned in the document itself. V'kama agudah shel shtarot, how many documents constitute a bundle of documents? Shlosha kishurim zebazeh, three tied togethers. Rabban Shimon ben Gamliel says, echad halova mishlosha. If somebody finds these three documents that are about one person who borrowed from three different people, yachzor lalova, he should return it to the borrower because definitely belongs to him. Shlosha halovin min hached. But if the three documents concern three people who borrowed from one person, yachzor lamalva, then the finder should return it to the lender. So the point is that you're trying to find the common denominator in the documents, according to Rabbi Shimon Gamliel, and that's who you're going to return it to. Finally, the Mishnah is going to discuss what to do with unknown documents that turn up that somebody finds. Matzah shtar ben shtaratav. Somebody finds a document belonging to somebody else amongst his documents. Ve'eno yodea mativo. And he doesn't know its status, right? So let's say he finds a loan that's between two parties and he doesn't remember whether it was given to him by the creditor or the debtor or whether it was partially paid. Like, he's just not sure, why does he have that? Yehe munach ad sheyavo Eliyahu. Basically, it's set aside until Eliyahu comes. So this concept of yehe munach ad sheyavo Eliyahu, right, is something that we typically see. It appears in other Mishnahs. And essentially, it's a way of a Mishnah saying, this is something that we're not going to be able to resolve well, but we know that it's something that needs to be resolved. So therefore, it sort of stays to the side as something that's unresolved. The only person who would be able to resolve this would be Eliyahu, right? But we're not going to say that you should throw it out. It sort of still needs to be kept because it has some significance. Im yesh imahem simponot, If there are unissued receipts with his documents and he doesn't remember whether or not he received payment, yaseh ma shebishim sonot. He should do what is recorded, right? What it says in those receipts. So if the receipt is valid, right, then it should be, meaning it looks like the debt was paid, then he should give it to the debtor. So that's basically what this Mishnah says. It's a series of different types of documents, many of which actually get returned as opposed to some of our previous Mishnayos. The Gemara is going to begin by trying to understand what Shtirei Birurin is, what are documents of clarification. Hacha Tirgamu. So here, and they're talking about above all, they explain that these are Shtarei Ta'anta. These are documents recording the arguments, okay? So this would sort of be a document that maybe explains a clarification of what their claims were. I think of it as a little bit like a transcript, right? Like it's kind of like when you would have a stenographer lay out the case, but that's what it is. It explains a little bit more what litigants were arguing about in a court. Rabbi Yirmiyah Omer, Rabbi Yirmiyah, and it's what's significant is Rabbi Yirmiyah lives in Eretz Yisrael. So before we gave a Bavel, right, the Hacha is Bavel, but Rabbi Yirmiyah says that what are these? Zeborer lo echad, v'zeborer lo echad. So these are basically documents that recording the judges that were chosen by the litigants, and it's based on the idea one litigant chooses a judge for himself and one litigant chooses a judge for himself. So when there were monetary cases, the litigants could each choose one of the three judges who are needed to be in the Beit Din, and then the third judge is chosen by either both of the litigants or by both of the judges. So the point of this type of document, according to Rabbi Yirmiyah, is that it records sort of why each litigant chose that chose that judge. So, you know, it becomes a question. There's even some reflection, was this something that was actually written down? But, you know, there seems to be a debate between Bavel and Eretz Yisrael, but it's clear that it has something to do with, right, this idea of Shtarei Birurin is it's a document that reflects the different sides in a case. The Mishnah goes on, the Gemara goes on to say, V'chol ma'aseh Beit Din, any act of the court. Hareza yachzir, right? He should return that. So now the Gemara is going to tell us a story that happened. Hachu gita t'ishcha chaych beidina de Rav Huna. There was a bill of divorce that was found in Rav Huna's courthouse. Dehave ketive, in which it was written, b'shivire mata da'al rachis naharya, in Shivri, a town on the river Rachis. So the man, right, it seemed to be saying, right, the man seemed to say that he was an agent who was sent to deliver this get to a woman who was named in it, and that it may be that he dropped it off and it was lost. Amar Rav Huna, so Rav Huna said, Chashinan lishnei shivire. We are concerned that maybe there are two towns called Shivre, right, and that the get was written for a couple who maybe have identical names who live in both of those towns, so we don't know who it is. In other words, you could have two towns named Shivri, and in both places, they could have a couple with the same name. So we're not sure who it's actually for, and therefore, we can't return it to the agent who wants to claim it because we just don't know who it's actually for. Amar le Rav Chisda le Rabba. So Rav Chisda says to Rabba, Puk ayin, go out and look into this matter. De l'orta ba'i le Rav Huna minach, for in the evening, Rav Huna will inquire of you concerning it. Nafak dak vashkach, Rabba went out, investigated, and he figured out a source. Ditznan, right? We've learned in a Mishnah, kol ma'aseh Beit Din, any act of the court, hareze achzor, he should return it. So his point, what Rabba says based on our Mishnah is, since the get is certified, of course it should be returned to the agent. So Rav Amram then says to Rabba, Amar le Rav Avram le Rabba, hecha pashit ma isur mimonona. How can you resolve a question of prohibition from a ruling dealing with monetary law? In other words, what he wants to say is returning a get to an agent and allowing somebody to divorce a woman, this is an issue of, you know, prohibitory law. In other words, it involves with whether or not the woman can therefore marry somebody else. But when we talk about act of a court, right, from our Mishnah seems to be talking about only documents that deal with monetary matters. So he basically says to Rabba, Rav Amram, how can you learn one case from another? This issue of the get can't be learned out from our Mishnah. Rabba really gets upset with this, right? Amar Le, Rabba says to Rav Amram, trada, right? Which kind of means like lunatic or crazy person. Shtare chalitza umiyunin tanan. He said, we also learned in the Mishnah about certificates of chalitza and miyun, and they should be returned. And those are issues of prohibition, right? If you don't have a certificate of chalitza, the woman, right, the yavama, she can't remarry. So of course this proof is valid. So then the Gemara says, Paka arza deve rav, the cedar column which supported the study hall split, right? Mar amar, one master. So the question is it figurative or literal, right? It seems to be that this is figurative. Mar amar, one master said, right? We're talking about Rav Amram. Mishum letai dite paka. It was due to my fortune that it split because Rabba insulted me. So that's why it split. Umar amar, and the other master said, this would be Rabba. Mishum letai dite paka. It was due to my fortune that it split because Rav Amram criticized me and sort of said this publicly to me. So in other words, it's not clear. Was it like literally like something split? You could read the Gemara that way. Does it mean figuratively, meaning that like there were some not nice feelings within the study hall? It's interesting when the Gemara includes these types of details, right? And we see that sometimes in learning court, you know, things like in communal matters, things get very personal. I think we've all experienced those things. And we see that even with the Amorayim, that can happen as well. But the point here is that Rabba basically says the principles that are laid out in this Mishnah seem to apply to all different types of documents, whether it's something that has to deal with, you know, a prohibition or even if it's something that's monetary.
You know, I always like those like human moments that we see from the sages. I'm going to continue along here in the Gemara. We have, I think, several different kinds of points that show up, and I'm going to try to touch on each of them as opposed to doing all of them inside. The first one, just to read a bit inside, matzah b'chafisa o b'doluskama. So if a person found documents in a chafisa or in a doluskama, these words obviously need translation and understanding, then he has to return them. What that was from the Mishnah. My chafisa. So the Gemara says, what's a chafisa? Good question. Amar Rabbi Bar Barchana, chamaktana. So Rabbi Bar Barchana says it's a small flask. Okay, why you keep your documents in a flask? I mean, I think this goes to a different level, a different society and a different kind of, I don't know what, like they didn't have briefcases and knapsacks. There's a different kind of how do you carry your things around with you. This is one protective measure to carry a bunch of documents. My dluskama, what's a dluskama? Amar Rabba Bar Shmuel, talika disave. So Rabbi Bar Shmuel says it's a container. Again, it's a different kind of container. And that one is apparently used by the elderly. And I appreciate this kind of generational divide even then, right? That people knew that this was something that the, you know, here you're carrying around your lockbox instead of your knapsack. I don't know. Now, the Mishnah goes on, right, to talk about, it says, Tachrich shel shtarot, or aguda shel shtarot. What happens if you find a roll of documents, or you have a bundle of documents? And the difference between a roll and a bundle is a good question, but I think that the point here is, and they are treated together, because you have several documents that are being found together in one clump, cluster, roll, bundle, right? Kamahu tachrish al starot, shlosha kruchin zebezeh. So a roll is three rolled together. Vakami agudash al starot, shlosha kshurin zebezeh. And a bundle would be three documents that are tied together. I wonder if a staple nowadays, or paperclip, right, would count as tying something together. And the issue then is, you know, if you're coming to return lost items, and these are documents. So on the one hand, you have all the information in the documents as a means to help you figure out, you know, who this goes back to, who really owns it. But on the other hand, once you've got an external sign, right, the way they're tied together, what color paper, I don't know, right? Meaning the issues of identifying the documents from an external kind of visual make the difference also to say, like, this is a sign, a distinguishing mark, right, of, you know, this belongs to you. And if the owner comes forward to claim it and says, I had those documents and they were tied up with a purple string, then you have, you know, you already have a point of credibility independent of what's written in the documents. I'm going to jump now a bit, quite a bit. We have a piece to look for where it says Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel. Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel omer echad halove mishlosha yachzir lalove. So Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel says, if you find three, meaning you've got three, in this case we're talking about shtar chov, you're talking about promissory notes, and each of the promissory notes, so it's not because they're tied together, but there are, you have found three of them, and each of them make, they refer to the loans of just one person, meaning one person has borrowed from three different people. The Gemara explains that you have to give it back to the debtor, meaning the person whose name is the borrower, right? And the reason to do that is because, you know, if they belong to each of the creditors, then why are they together, right? You would, it does not make sense to think that, let me say it the other way around. It does make sense that somebody who has borrowed from three people might keep his IOUs together to, you know, till he can pay back. The IOUs going to three different people don't, that should each be in the hands of each of those three different people, should not be together, right? If they are still, I don't know, if they're still functional, if they still are outstanding. So the Gemara wants to suggest that maybe you could say that they all belong to the creditors. Dilma l'kiyuminhu azle. Maybe they all went to court. And so then this is the loss, you know, of the court, d'mekayme. So the Gemara says, well, if you're talking about a case where these have already been upheld, right, then you're not talking about documents that were lost, you know, in the process of court. Dilma mida de safra nafil. So maybe they fell, you know, and got lost, blown away at the time that the scribe was writing them in the court, right? The scribe in the court. Lo mashi inish de kiuma bieda de safra. And the Gemara says, no, no, people do not leave, you know, ratified promissory notes. Once it's been established, the IOU in the court, you don't leave that document in the possession of the scribe, meaning that does not make sense. It makes sense, you know, just human behavior, logic, how the world functions, to say that all three had been in the hands of the debtor, the person who borrowed, and that's who you return them to. And it's interesting to me how much dancing and fancy footwork the Gemara goes through here to make it clear why, you know, why the other possibilities are rejected, and that the conclusion is give it back to the debtor. Give what you found, these three notes, back to the debtor. Okay, the Gemara here continues. Shlosha shalavum, it's again a citation from the Mishnah. Shlosha shalavum me'achad yachzir l'malveh. So if those notes, if those same shtari chov that are IOUs basically refer to three different people who borrowed from one person, right, then you give them back to the creditor, the person who lent the money, right? Then it makes sense that he's holding on to his copy of the IOUs and they are missing from him, because again, otherwise all of the borrowers, why would they be in a cluster? Wouldn't they be separated in each of those people's homes or pockets? Why would they be together? Why would these documents belonging to three different debtors be together? So maybe they each went to a scribe to write out these notes. And the Gemara says, well, that might be, that it could be that people would all go to the same scribe. But in this case, you know, in case you weren't sure, we've got an added detail, namely that the handwriting of each of these notes were by different scribes, which makes me wonder, you know, to what extent this was an actual case that you can say, ah, but the handwriting was different, as opposed to the theoretical case of what if you happened upon these notes. So maybe they, each of them went to court to ratify those notes. Malva makayim shtara, lova lo makayim shtara. And the Gemara says, no, no, no. The creditor, the person who lent the money, goes to the court to get that, to get it officially upheld. The debtor, the person who borrowed the money, does not take the note to court to get it officially upheld. Like, there's no need for that. He could just pay back, right? He doesn't need to make it official that he actually owes the money. Again, speaking to human nature and the way borrowers and lenders function, I guess they haven't heard of, you know, neither a borrower nor a lender be, or perhaps more realistically, right? This is very much a part of how society functions in terms of costs and who has what money and how people pay for things. And so we do need these notes. And then when it's totally plausible that somebody could lose, you know, whether the borrower loses his notes or the lender loses them, that it makes sense that somebody could stumble upon them and then need to figure out to whom to return them so that everybody's obligation to pay back is in place as it should be. The Gemara after this, I'm still on Amud Bet, but getting to the weeds of Amud Bet, delves into cancellations of the contracts. Again, this is coming from the Mishnah, Im Yeshi Mehen Simponot, right? Those Simponot, Yasem Asit Sheba Simponot. If they are canceled, then you do whatever is written in the cancellation in terms of, you know, who should get it back, and is it a complete and utter cancellation, or what's supposed to be in the possession of the creditor, and, you know, the issue of determining whether a simponet has been forged, and you have to check the handwriting, and does it go back to a scribe, and there's a great deal of discussion here, like, towards the end of the Gemara, and then, at some point, I guess it shifts, maybe already it shifts on the next stuff, right, the question of these canceled, debt documents and what do you do with them, which I think again speaks to the fact of we're talking about a functional matter that borrowers and lenders and the cancellations of debt were just part of the way society functioned in terms of this monetary element. And I think we still have this. It's just that because so much is more corporate that it doesn't feel like, oh, and then I'm going to stumble upon a cluster or a bundle of somebody's promissory notes that I must get back to them or the debt itself will be gone. I mean, now in a digital age, there's so many copies, there's so many different ways to determine whether somebody owes you money or whether it's been paid back. And there can still be errors, but presumably not in the same kind of way of something disappearing. So this need to return the lost objects, these lost objects that are documents, I think becomes essential to the functioning of this element of society.